In life, various successions lead us through buddies and friends, acquaintances, close friendships, and in some cases, lovers. So we have this elevation of people from buddies to lovers. From the earliest times, of course, people have known friends. We are a social people. We need other people, and we need the world. Our senses help us to interact with our surroundings, but mostly with other people. Sight, hearing, touch, taste of food and smell all involve relating to someone or something other than ourselves. One of the supreme tortures that a person can undergo is total sensory deprivation. Now, the people we know, from buddies to acquaintances to friends and lovers, also help us to bring us to reality. Sometimes, perhaps, much too much reality, but at least we know they're there. Social media such as Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and blogs help us to be connected to each other. Now, most people have many acquaintances, and some people have several friends. To have a very close friend is really somewhat of a rarity. Vincent Van Gogh, a Dutch artist, is probably most well known for an incident during which his earlobe was somehow cut off. He worked at various jobs and was unsuccessful at all of them. He was a bookstore clerk, an art salesman, and for a time a preacher. He was fired as a bookstore clerk, he was fired as an art salesman, and he was fired as a preacher. And the reason he was fired as a preacher, because he was overzealous. He was unhappy in his romances with women. And when he turned to art, what he wanted to do was to create works of beauty in order to make people happy. Vincent Van Gogh did have many friends, and he did argue with them, hence the earlobe situation. And this is his famous quote, and it's a really great quote. "Close friends are truly life's treasures. Sometimes they know us better than we know ourselves. With gentle honesty, they are there to guide us and support us, to share our laughters and to share our tears. Their presence reminds us that we are never really alone." So while Van Gogh's life seemed to be a shambles, he created great art, and he did understand close friendship. And friendship comes about by giving and receiving, giving more and forgiving even more. Can we be friends with our children? Can we be friends with our relatives? Can we be friends with our spouses? In our modern world, we expect our spouses to be friends. And that was not the situation necessarily from earliest time on. And when people married, it was arranged by marriage brokers. The Broadway show and movie Fiddler on the Roof has a part which focuses on a marriage broker. When Tevye's daughter, Zeidel, tells him that she loves a model, this forces Tevye to make a major decision in his life. He can let love take over or follow tradition. If he follows tradition, then the village matchmaker, Yenta, is rewarded for finding a husband for Zeidel. What complicates the story, of course, is that Yenta found a rich butcher, a man by the name of Lazar Wolf, to marry Zeidel. But Zeidel's love model is as poor or poorer than Tevye. So tradition versus love, a moneyed spouse versus continued poverty. In medieval times, many marriages from royal families took place to cement treaties between different countries. And it is not rare, even in the United States, for arranged marriages to take place, even now, 2013, in this country. But I have learned that many arranged marriages throughout the centuries resulted in the couple becoming friends and even very close friends. And on the other hand, both you and I have witnessed many marriages taken place because the couple thought they were friends, but the marriage ended in divorce. One of the problems that can occur in friendship, every friendship, spousal friendship or any friendship, is the fact that the people we choose happen that we presume to know everything about the person that we choose as a friend. If we choose to know everything and presume to know everything about the person we choose as a friend, we fail miserably in that friendship because of our pomposity. The reason being is each one of us is unique. Each one of us has his own personality. So acceptance is one of the great keys to relationship. And remember that a key is just a means to an access. Now, the same then is true of God. For when we presume to understand God, then we fail miserably in our pompous. Another obstacle to friendship is if we project ourselves onto our friends. We may want to project our emotions onto our friend, or our thoughts, or our attitudes, or our prejudices, our intentions. And whenever we project, we fail because, again, every person is unique. We don't like when people project their feelings on us or their biases on us because it takes away from who we are. And when we project onto God, when we project who we are onto God, then we really fail miserably. Since we cannot see God, it is easy for a person to project oneself onto God. And that person then thinks that God thinks the way that person thinks, and that God feels the way that person feels. In fact, a person can even project intolerance onto God, and that's really failing miserably. And that is truly pompous, and it is extremely dangerous. And we know this, all we have to do is watch the news or read the newspaper. But the way of friendship is to acceptance of the other person as who they are. So what can we learn from today's gospel passage? In today's gospel, Jesus tells us, as the Father has loved him, so he loves us. And then he adds, abide in my love. And to abide in someone is to live in their hearts and in their minds. Another way of saying this is that Jesus is asking us to make our home with him and in him. Live with him. Have dinner with him. Relax with Jesus. As a friend, take off your shoes and be comfortable in his presence. Rest at night with him. Rise in the morning and go to work with him. But it is not a one-way street. Jesus clearly said that those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. He tells us he wants to live with us in our hearts and our minds and our homes also. He wants to be part of our lives. All we have to do is to keep the door of our soul open to him. Yet there are times in my life when the door to my heart was bolted and secured like a New York door, closed and locked with at least 3 locks and a bar across the door. But it's not as simple as letting Jesus live in us, because he made some promises. He started out saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So it is important that what Jesus teaches and who Jesus is becomes part of who we are. The regular reading and hearing of Scripture, as Carol read the Gospel this morning, is vital. Preaching of the Word is essential to understanding Scripture if the message brings the Word of life to our current culture. Jesus told us that he is the vine and we are the branches. A vine is more than what you see growing from the earth, because a vine is also rooted in the earth and gets its nourishment from the earth. So Jesus tells us that he is rooted in the earth and he gives spiritual nourishment and vitality to the branches. When we, the branches, need spiritual food, we draw on the vine and on the root, who is Jesus the Christ. Jesus tells us that his Father is glorified by this, that we, his followers, bear much fruit and become his disciples. So it's not enough to say that we are followers of Jesus, for his task is clear. We are the branches of his vine, and we are to bear fruit. We cannot take spiritual nourishment and not bear fruit. That's selfish. We cannot be a friend and not give back. That is selfish. And that's not what Jesus wants of us. Jesus continued and says, he is telling us these things so that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be complete. And I find his last comment so absolutely powerful. Jesus wants our joy to be complete. Our God desires our happiness. And isn't that what we want of our closest friends? We want their joy. We want their happiness. That's what we want of those who we love the most. At Christmas and at birthdays, we give stuff to those dearest to us because we want to see them happy. And obviously Jesus goes beyond stuff and enters the realm of true happiness in the world. Friendship, joy, spiritual peace. And Jesus asks us to share His love with others. In fact, He commands us to love one another in the same way that He has loved us. And He gave us a self-test. He asked us if we would put our life on the line for our friends in the same way that He gave His life for us. And then Jesus really pulls us into His self and His message. He said, we are not His servants. He explained, servants do not know what their masters are teaching. What Jesus does want, He wants us to fully comprehend what He thinks. Jesus tells us that servants do not know what their masters are planning. And Jesus desires that we enter fully and understand fully what He plans. I think that the reason that the four Gospels were so well written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is so that we would indeed abide in Jesus' life and thoughts and plans. Jesus clearly called us friends. In the Old Testament, there are only three clear times when Abraham and Moses are referred to as friends, and nobody else in any other statements in the Old Testament. But Jesus comes and says, we are His friends, and we can be His friends. So in light of Jesus and His statement on friends, I'd like to read Van Gogh's statement one more time. Close friends are truly life's treasures. Sometimes they know us better than we know ourselves. With gentle honesty, they are there to guide us and support us, to share our laughter and our tears. Their presence reminds us that we are never really alone. Jesus reminds us that we did not choose Him, but He chose us. He tells us He places us in this world to bear fruit, fruit that will not spoil, fruit that will be for eternity. And Jesus says that whatever we ask God the Father, He will give us. And this last statement really is the reference that we pray for spiritual union with God. When we pray for spiritual union with God, Jesus will not refuse. God will provide. Now, Jesus knew God the Father through prayer. And as He was growing up, He learned Scripture. And there are some passages that He learned at His local synagogue. The psalmist wrote it, Psalm 25, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. In the Torah, in Exodus chapter 33, it is written, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a person speaks to a friend. And in Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times. And how do friends interact? Close friends can be together with each other in silence, and yet the bond between them is like cement. Friends can ask favors of each other, but not impose on the other. When I was just down in Florida, there was followed a pickup truck, and on the back of the pickup truck it said, yes, I own this pickup truck. No, I will not help you move. Friends are able to share their inner self with each other without judgment and in confidence. So how does friendship with God work? Perhaps what gives me the most consolation of my friendship with Jesus is this. Both in Matthew and in Luke, there's this story. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and those against Him said, look at Him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So this Jesus who we follow as Christians, this man, God, who we follow as Christians, was called a drunkard by His detractors. He was called a glutton by His detractors. And He was called a friend of sinners and a friend of tax collectors. If He is a friend of sinners and tax collectors and ministers and lawyers, then I'm comforted, because then I know that Jesus is there for me. Let us pray. Lord God, Your Son has told us that He has chosen us to bear fruit, for He is the vine and its root. Lord, You are the vine grower. We are the branches and are to abide in Jesus and bear much fruit. We are comforted to know that your Son wants our joy to be complete. We pray for the strength then to love our neighbor as Jesus has loved us, because he told us that no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one friend. Lord, give us the strength to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus. May we show Christ's love to all we meet, to all we hear and know of, and to those who need us. We pray this in Jesus' name, under the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Amen.